In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Christ is risen.
He is risen.
Probably very few people in this room know who the current heavyweight champion of the world is. The thought occurred to me because of what I was about to say, and I don't know. But when I was a kid, everybody knew who the heavyweight champion of the world was because we didn't have pay-per-view, so you could watch the fights on TV, and it was a big event. And Muhammad Ali was a pretty big deal. He not only was heavyweight champion, he had a cartoon on Saturday morning, he had a popular song about him, and he was noted for calling himself the greatest. And people would sometimes ask him, you know, isn't that boastful? And his response was, it ain't bragging if you can back it up. And he backed it up in the ring over and over again, and he proved that he was an amazing boxer. Well, in the gospel today, we see how Christ proved what he had said about himself. He claimed great things about himself, but he demonstrated that those things were true. The gospel begins with, and as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. If you look at the previous chapter and the words that precede this, you understand what it means when it says, and as he passed by. You'll see that after Christ's encounter with the woman who was caught in adultery, which we talked about last Sunday, he had a somewhat involved dispute with the Pharisees in the temple. And you can read that chapter to get all of the back and forth that happened there. But the discussion ended with Christ saying, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Then took they up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. So that's what it means when it talks about him passing by. Now, what Christ just said there's a very important thing that you have to understand. When he says, before Abraham was, I am. He didn't say, before Abraham was, I was. He said, before Abraham was, I am. And he was referring back to the name of God. The name of God in Hebrew, Yahweh, means I am. And when Moses met God in the burning bush and he asked God to give him his name, God's response to him was, I am that I am. And the Christ was referring back to that. And that's the reason why the Jews took up stones to stone him, because they understood exactly what he was saying. There wasn't any ambiguity whatsoever. He was claiming to be God. And exactly how he was able to walk through the midst of them, we're not really given a good explanation. But perhaps he, by miraculous powers, walked through the midst of them and they were not even able to see him. We don't really know. But he walks out of the temple court, and he sees this blind man who's begging, who everybody would have known because he would have been there every day trying to collect alms as people would go into the temple. And he could have just kept on going. He could have said, well, you know what? I just had the Jews trying to stone me. Probably ought to just keep walking out of here. But instead, he felt a need to take care of this man, to do a miracle, to demonstrate God's glory in him. And as he was looking at this man, the disciples noticed this, and they asked him the question. They said, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And it wasn't a totally ridiculous question for them to ask, because we just had a couple other miracles in the Gospel of John where people's sins did have some role to play in the infirmities that they had. But Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. In other words, he had this blindness not because of any sin, but because God had a plan to demonstrate his glory on this very day. That was the reason why this man was born blind. And all of his life he might have wondered, why did God do this to me? But there was a purpose in it. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. So when Christ says this, what does he mean when he says the day in which we can work? Well, the day that we're able to work is this present life in which we can repent, we can believe the gospel, and we can be saved. And that believing in Christ is a work that we are commanded to do is made clear by Christ earlier in the Gospel of John when he told the people, "This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he sent." So faith, we're told by St. Paul, is a gift, but it's also something that we have to do. We have to choose to believe. We have a choice to make, and God calls us to make it. He commands us to make that choice, and it's up to us whether or not we are going to do that or not. God gives us the power to believe, but whether we choose to believe or not is a choice that we have to make. What is the night in which no man can work? Now, mind you, he didn't say which he could not work, but he said which no man could work. The night is the life to come. In the age to come, there will be neither faith nor works, because faith will give way to sight. Those who have been saved will rest from their labors for the rest of eternity, and those who rejected God will have only to bear the consequence of their labors. But there will be nothing anyone can do to change his situation after death. It's now in this life that we have the opportunity to be illumined by the light of Christ and be saved. And then it says, when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed and came seeing. You might ask, why did Christ work this miracle in this way? He healed other blind men, and he didn't have to do it this particular way, but he chose to do it this way in this man's particular case. And he did it because he wanted to make it very clear that this was a miracle that was by his power only. It wasn't just someone who maybe had lost their vision temporarily and then were able to see, and it was just a matter of their body's natural power to regenerate itself, giving him the ability to see. This is someone who was blind from birth. It wasn't possible for that situation to just change on its own. And he could have said, just go to the pool of Siloam and wash, rather than put clay on his eyes. But if he had done that, people might have thought that it was the pool of Siloam that was the source of the healing rather than himself. But no one would have mistaken the dirt on the ground that they walked as having some special properties, or spittle in and of itself to have healing properties. This was a miracle that God worked alone. And also, according to tradition, this man wasn't just born without the ability to see, but he was actually born without eyes, or at least without proper eyes that were at all even functional. And by using clay, Christ was hearkening back to the creation of the first man from the dust of the earth, and he showed that he was the same creator who had created Adam. Here he was finishing the creation of this man that was born without eyes. And by sending him to the pool of Siloam, he showed this man's obedience, and he pointed us to the necessity for baptism. And by sending a blind man with clay on his eyes, who had to walk through the streets and probably no doubt had to ask people for directions as he went, he made many people witnesses to this miracle, because it would have been something that would have been noticed by a lot of people as they saw this man going through the streets and then saying that he was able to see and demonstrating that. Later, no one could doubt what had happened. No one could doubt this miracle because there were too many witnesses. Christ had said, "Before Abraham was, I am." He claimed to be the same God that Moses encountered in the burning bush, the same God that made the promises to Abraham that in his seed all the nations of the earth would be blessed, the same God who had created Adam from the dust of the earth. And in this miracle, Christ demonstrated that these were not just the rantings of a madman, but the truth. Amen. Christ is risen.
He is risen.